Lauren, thank you so much for jumping on with me. Can you tell everyone, you know, what you do, your name, where you work?
Sure. Lauren Wexler, and I work at Revlon as the Senior Director of Global Media.
And so what are your normal like day-to-day activities, or like what are you focused on?
Sure. So my responsibility is the strategy, planning, and buying of all media types, whether it's print, digital, out of home, television, for all of the consumer brands within the Revlon portfolio.
How many like salespeople, because I know you've been in media for quite some time, how many salespeople have been reaching out to you over the years, do you think?
Every year?
Sure. Or in total?
Oh, in total, thousands.
So how do you incorporate like what you have to do like day to day, you know, or all your priorities and objectives with all the salespeople who, you know, are trying to sell you something? How do you think about that?
Sure. So I would say there's probably a hierarchy of ones that I'm currently working with, ones that I know that I'm not working with, and then ones that are complete cold calls, and that's sort of the hierarchy, you know, from top to bottom that I would think about it. The cold call ones definitely get either, you know, completely deprioritized for that day. And if I have time at the end of the day or at night when I'm finishing my emails, I'll read through them and think about if it's worth responding based on what I'm currently working on. And some of them I will you know, either not be able to respond to, or some of them I will forward to our agency partners whose responsibility it really is to further evaluate vendors for me.
So how do you feel about the people, you know, that you don't know that are trying to reach out to you and sell you things?
I honestly do feel bad because I'm like a pretty empathetic person. So as much as I want to respond to a lot of these people, there's just not enough hours or time in the day based on how quickly things move in my day-to-day job. So I just don't have the bandwidth to be able to respond to these people.
How did you approach it when you first started? You know, and how did that affect
sure.
you?
Sure. So I think like when I first started, I definitely paid a little more attention. I also worked on the agency side. So a larger part of my day-to-day job was responding to vendors who were reaching out to me. I think that the way that the world has moved in terms of how many companies there are from a digital standpoint, the volume of those emails has increased tremendously because there's many more places for people to sell, and back in the day, it was just like your print and television sales reps. Now there's thousands of people that want your money.
What frustrates you about it?
Probably the most frustrating are the copy and paste emails, I'll say, or the ones that you can literally tell are like, dear client X, and they just put your name in, or but some of them are completely disregarding how busy you are, and I am so not a self-important person, but the ones that you tend to respond back to are the ones that say, hey, can I get like 5 minutes of your time just to give you like a quick overview? I know you're really busy. So the ones that appreciate or at least give a nod to knowing that, you know, you may not have time for them, the ones that aren't like overstepping at first email correspondence. Because I've had people say, hey, do you have time tomorrow for an hour? It's like, really?
Right.
So I think if they approach
yeah,
it
like,
in a way where they acknowledge.
How's your schedule look this week, you know,
yeah,
to
it's
talk
like,
to me?
Delete,
like, are you
delete.
Kidding me?
Exactly.
What annoys you about it?
I think it's like the disrespect for how many other things we're doing or the amount of other emails we're getting that are just like that, that's the first thing. And the second, and again, not to sound self-important, but my other frustration is probably the lack of respect for thinking that I'm working on things that are not necessarily more important, but in the pecking order of what my daily job is, it's to make our business create value for our shareholder and increase our market share, right? So there's lots of things on that list, and responding to a cold call email is not my priority. So when somebody comes across as it should be, it's frustrating. So I think there's a way to get people's attention without coming across like you're not respecting their what the larger part of their day is made up doing.
What is, like, so people understand, what is your, like, what are you looking for? You know, like, what are your priorities? How do you think about, like, you know, man, I wish somebody came out and said this to me, you know, like, what is it you want, you know, in your job? He's like, shareholder value, like, I get that, but, like, what is it you're really trying to do?
Sure. So if somebody is going to bring me a product that's going to help me solve a business problem, so if that is, helping me reach a new audience or a very important audience in a smart way, and they're going to show me that it's not going to take, you know, 10 meetings to understand what they're trying to sell me, and then they're also going to come with a clear understanding of my business, what my problems may or may not be based on some research that they've done that's publicly available, and then how I'm going to measure those results, to me that's like a clear win on both ends. And I've seen people do that before. So when you don't, when you come in and you're not up to those standards, it's almost like, well, then why did I take the time to set up an hour out of my day with you if you're not prepared and you don't know anything about my business and you're not offering me anything unique and different?
Right. How many emails do you get, like, say, on a daily or weekly basis, you know, for solicitations?
I would say, so like cold call emails or?
Yeah, well, let's say, why don't we start with like how many emails you get, say, daily about, you know,
like,
and then like what percentage of those are like, you know, cold emails?
Probably like 200, a couple of hundred a day, I would say, and then maybe, 1% would be cold call emails.
Okay, so you're getting, say, only 2 cold call emails a day.
Yeah, probably.
Okay. What about phone calls?
But those are probably some. There's probably some that go to my spam that I don't get. So
okay.
I would say maybe let's do like 5 or 10 in total.
5 or 10. Okay. And what about like phone calls, voicemails?
So phone calls are funny.
How do you think about that?
I tend to get a lot of them, and I rarely have time to check my voicemail. So email for me is the best way to ever get in touch with me, and the subject of the email will is usually the best way to get my attention. Voicemails and phone calls to me are like not; those are even lower on my priority list of ever checking.
Do you know that J.P. Morgan and Coca-Cola actually cut voicemail for their workers last year?
You know what? I'm not surprised, but I had no idea, and it makes sense because it is, to me, it's an inefficient use of anyone's time is to sit there and listen to a voicemail when you can literally email or text me what you want to know or what you need. I mean, that's the way I even engage with my agency guys. I mean, we text each other. That's quicker than email.
I mean,
are
people doing text outreach when they don't know you? Or how would you feel about
never.
That?
Never. That's, I think, crossing the line, I think. But,
an unspoken boundary, right?
Totally, but I have texted with vendors, per se, who I have relationships with when things are needed or if we're working on a project together. So that's like, you know, when the relationship is, much further down the line.
Yeah, I do that too. Like my internal, you know, like we'll text to escalate things to make sure stuff, like, is seen.
Exactly.
What about, how many calls do you think you get a week?
It's so bad.
I
wouldn't even know, and I'm also not at my desk a lot, and if people don't leave voicemails, I won't know that I've been on this call.
What about LinkedIn or social? What else are you seeing people do?
I have beyond a ridiculous amount of LinkedIn cold calls, and whether it's email messages that they're copying and pasting because, you know, we have 2 people in common, or they think that I could be relevant to add to their own LinkedIn list. I mean, for the most part, I tend to not accept people that I'm not connected with somehow or somehow mm-hmm. that I think could benefit me at some point in, you know, in my day-to-day. So there's a lot of random people adding me on LinkedIn. But there's also people that do it when they know I'm going to have a meeting with them or they actually they'll send me a LinkedIn message and then email me with my business email to try to set up a meeting. And sometimes, honestly, that works because it will get your attention. But if it's just super random and they're just doing it on LinkedIn, for the most part, I won't pay attention because you don't have enough time.
What about any other creative ways people try to reach out to you?
I mean, people
over the years
have just showed up at our office with here's a notebook from our company and we're trying to introduce you to it. That is not recommended at all. I will say that. Emails, phone calls, if you're actually friends with somebody that I know, that will work on me. That will always work on me. If you're legitimately friends or know somebody that I've grown up with or worked with before, to me and for me as a business professional, I always will take a courtesy meeting, and sometimes those actually work out to be, business relationships. But I think that's
Go ahead.
No, it's okay.
What are some of the worst examples you've ever heard or you get when it comes to, say, email or phone or LinkedIn?
Talking to me but mentioning one of my competitors as if I work there, not like double checking who they're actually emailing. I've had that many times.
So they haven't changed the name yet?
Nope. Or emailing me something that should have gone to somebody else with a different name. I've had that happen. People that are reaching out to me for something that I completely have nothing to do with at my company. And by going on LinkedIn, you can see that I don't oversee IT recruiting, for example.
Right.
That is a quick delete. And then also, for example, I'll give you a specific example. We don't have an e-commerce business currently. If you go on Revlon.com, you can see that. We send you to one of our partner retailers. So when people email me offering to help me on this specific point of my e-commerce business, that's a clear delete or ignore to me because it shows that they haven't. It's easy to see that we currently don't have that up and running if you go to my website.
Right.
So easy things like that people are lazy and doing copy and paste, so it's never going to help. So that's probably the most frustrating to me.
What would the perfect outreach look like to you? Gosh, all right, everybody, here's what I want. How would you think through that?
Honestly, it would be a very short email, hey, Lauren, I know you're doing X, Y, and Z. I literally want 5 or 10 minutes just to give you the overview of my company. If you think it's interesting, we can set up another meeting so we can get into the details. But yes, I need to learn and stay up to date on technology, innovation. What are these other companies that can offer me new things that I'm not aware of? I have to pay attention, but I don't want to feel like I need to sit there for an hour with you if it's not something that can help benefit me. So if you approach it as, a 5 or 10 minute quick chat, quick phone call, it's much less intimidating for somebody like me to put that on my calendar than 30 minutes or an hour. So that tends to work with me as well.
And when you're on the call for 5 or 10 minutes, do those calls go over?
Honestly, I haven't had many people that have approached it that way. When they have, it's worked, and they usually will say they're very respectful of your time and are very conscious not to let it run over. And I really, really respect that.
And they're building trust with you, right?
100%.
Being consistent and especially when you don't know somebody, and that's so important. How can they create an opportunity for you or a benefit? I mean, because I think about it, everyone's writing about them to you, right? And you don't care about them, you care about you, right? So
right.
All they need to do is flip it and write about the benefit to you, and all of a sudden they'll be interested. But what could people say, as far as benefit or creating opportunities, or how would you think through that?
So
or how should they think through that?
Sure. So for me, and again, this could be specific to my industry, but what gets my attention is people who send me a piece of research or a tidbit about my brand that I may not have seen. So it's going to benefit me because I am learning something new, or they're telling me how potentially they could help fix this specific issue, but not overstepping or telling me that I'm not running something correctly. It's more of, we're using our research because this is what my company can offer you, and we've put in these additional resources to say, hey, we've seen this about your brand, and we could potentially enhance it by doing this or fix this by doing this.
How do you decide who to respond? Yeah, totally.
Okay.
I mean, it's free consulting, right?
Okay.
You know, it's like, hey, look, we did all this work, and we want, you know, they might
totally.
Have a problem. We could fix it.
Yep.
But you're interested in it because it's
yep.
about you. You're not aware
it's
of it.
It's about me.
And, you know, and it's like new and novel and unique, right?
Totally. Exactly.
Actually, I have a question. How do you relate to it when it's like it's not a priority, right? They're like, hey, here's some research or whatever. And you're like, yeah, like I don't care about that. Like that's not on my, you know, what I'm focused on right now. Like, how do you think through that? I think we might have lost Lauren, so we'll dial back in. Okay, and we're back. Lauren, you there?
Yep.
What do the emails sound like? If you were to paraphrase the emails that you read, you know, that people are sending that you don't respond to,
yep.
What do they sound like?
A lot of it is too much information that's not relevant to me, probably. The ones that I'm not responding to.
And what percentage do you think you respond to?
I don't even know. Like the cold calls, probably 1 or 2% of the total.
And what about LinkedIn? What percentage do you respond to?
I don't really respond. I'll accept them. Either I'll ignore or accept at a minimum. But usually I don't respond to any business inquiries on LinkedIn ever unless they're also emailing me on my business email.
What about phone calls? What percentage do you respond?
Never.
What if you pick up on accident?
Then, which has happened to me numerous times, I will tell them that it's – so if it's not a good time, which most of the time it's not, I will just tell them that. I'm so sorry. I thought you were a conference call that I was dialing into or I picked up and, you know, again, I'm running to a meeting. Let's set up a time for a later date. Shoot me an email and we'll figure it out. So that's usually what I will tell them.
I thought you were somebody else. Pick up.
Yep.
I've been on the other end of that as a salesperson. You can hear the disappointment in their voice.
I know.
As you know, and it's just crushing.
I know. I'm a nice person, and I hate not being able to give everybody their due time or what they're hoping to get, but. You know, I have a boss who's expecting, you know, 20 projects due within that, you know, hour sometimes, but you just can't lose 1 minute, and people have to respect that. So you have to draw the line sometimes between nice and business. It's not personal, you know.
When have you purchased from, like, say, a cold outreach?
So it was never an immediate win, I would say, for the seller. I think it definitely took a lot of legwork and them not giving up, but there have been several times where because they did everything I said earlier in terms of, you know, starting it right, offering me something new and different, and then I thought it was, you know, worth sharing internally with people here, and there are several meetings, but again, it's them not giving up, even though it may take several months. So it has happened.
What would you say to sales managers or CEOs, you know, to their, like, to their sales team? Like, what advice would you give them?
I would say just remember that, you know, being real will go a long way. To me, the most real you can be and unsalesman-esque like, to me, is the best advice you can give to anybody who's starting in sales, because sometimes you feel bad for people who clearly are straight out of college, they're reading from a script. You know, they're doing something because they've been told to do it and they think it's the right way to do it. But to me, it's the exact opposite. So you have to start from the top. And I think just telling people to be real, just like if you were to walk up to them in a room, you wouldn't expect them to give you an hour, right? You would give them quick 5 minutes, like, here's what we do. If you're interested, we'll set up a separate time. We're not getting you, you know, when your headspace is somewhere else. And just, you know, act like you're walking up to them in a room, like person to person.
Yeah, I think of it like dating, you know.
You're just asking
for the number, right?
Totally.
Like,
exactly.
You know, like you're not asking to like go away with them for the weekend or get engaged and
totally.
You have to kind of play your cards right.
Yes. Take it slow. Have patience.
Any other party notes? Anything else you'd like to share with everybody?
Yeah, I mean, I think at the end of the day, if what you're selling will help the person that's buying it, it's a mutually beneficial relationship. And if you can get to that point with your buyer or whoever you're selling to, that's a win-win for everybody. It's like I need that salesperson sometimes as much as they need me, right? Because that what they're selling me can increase my value in my organization or to my boss. But it has to be at the right time because there's many other things that we're evaluating, looking at, working on. But at the end of the day, if it's a mutually beneficial win, it's going to help everybody. So I think, you know, and it's not just, you know, you selling me. It's also, to me, it's like me selling you, why should you also put in your resources for my company? And that will come in due time. But, you know, my best relationships with, you know, sales reps or vendors have taken time. And they end up being, you know, mutually beneficial for everybody. So.
Yeah. I mean, the you said something really, really important. It has to be a benefit to you. You know,
yep.
Like they're there to help you, right?
Yeah.
So, but the communication has to be put in a way that's going to benefit you, the reader, not like let me tell you all about what we do and how we do
totally.
It.
Totally.
Because like you don't care. Because everyone
exactly.
just cares. Everyone's view of it is themselves, right? Like, what is this? What's in it for me? What am I trying to do? What are my priorities? What are, like, you know? And but the problem is the person who's sending on the other side of the email or the phone call or whatever, that's their view. Like, what am I trying to do? What's important to me? Like whatever. And then they send the email from that lens versus switching the lens to what does Lauren care about or what do I think she can care about? And how could I potentially help her? Because, like, we have solutions, we have technology, we have products because they solve some sort of problem, right? They help people in some way. But that's what people need to get to. And that's what we're all about, you know, communicating to people.
Yep.
But listen, I really, really want to thank you. I'm sure people are going to love this.
And, yeah, I'm glad.
And for everybody listening in, we will hopefully hear about what you're doing in the course and hear about all the meetings that you're going to be getting.
Awesome. Thank you.